Thank you for joining us today. At Cross Church, we believe people need Jesus, people need each other, people change the world, and people leave legacies. Our desire is for you to understand, accept, and grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening. If you would like to know more about Cross Church, please visit crosschurch.com.
If you got a Bible, I want you to open it to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be in verses 15 through 21 this morning. And the title of our message today is Understanding God's Will for Your Life Right Now. Understanding God's Will for Your Life Right Now. When it comes to a question, I believe a lot of us have asked this question: what is God's will for my life? If you haven't asked it, you've probably asked it recently at some point. But as a part of the C3 team here, I find that in my life, I'm consistently having conversations across the table from a college student. And a lot of times those conversations are similar to, man, what major should I go with? What internship should I do? Who should I marry? What job should I take? Whatever these things may be. And a lot of things in those questions, really at the heart of those, are what is God's will for my life? I believe our text today very simply answers the question for all of us in the room: what is God's will for your life? Paul says it in verse 18. Right there on the back half, he just simply says this: be filled with the Spirit. If I could overly simplify, God's will for your life right now, church, is that you would be filled with the Spirit. Pastor Ronnie, who spoke here at the Fayetteville campus a couple of weeks ago, talked about how the Holy Spirit is a person. And this Holy Spirit desires to empower us to live the life that God has called us to live. And that there are three responses that we can take to the Holy Spirit. The first response is that we can quench the Holy Spirit, meaning that we can stifle or smother his activity. The second response is that we can grieve the Holy Spirit, that we can bring offense or sadness to the Holy Spirit by our choices and our decisions. And then lastly, we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, meaning that we are controlled and filled personally by the Spirit of God for the work of God in our life. These are the ways in which we can respond to the Holy Spirit. And so for us to understand God's will for our life, we must first understand that we will never arrive at God's will for our life apart from being filled with the Spirit of God. And not only does Paul teach about being filled by the Holy Spirit, we also see Jesus live out this idea of being filled with the Spirit in Luke chapter 4. As you read Luke chapter 4, Jesus is just beginning his earthly ministry. And in verse 1, it says, "Now Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit." Later in that same verse, it says that he was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness. Verse 14, it says that Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And in verse 18, it says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me. All of this points to that Jesus had a high priority for the Spirit of God in his life. And he lived intentionally to be filled, led, and empowered by the Holy Spirit in his earthly ministry. And so if Jesus would live this out and Paul would call the church at Ephesus to do this, then we must understand that being filled with the Spirit is of utmost priority. In order for us to understand God's will for our life right now, we must be filled with the Spirit. And I believe Paul, in verses 15 through 21, gives us a picture of what it looks like to be filled with the Spirit. That there are certain things that come into our life, and there are certain things that change about our life because we are filled with the Spirit. And he breaks these things down in two different sections. And so my heart for this morning is that we would break down these two sections and be done. So if you've got a Bible, go ahead and open it up with me to verse 15, and we'll start reading there. Paul says this. He says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another out of a reverence for Christ." So Paul talks all throughout this passage about this idea of being filled with the Spirit. And I'm going to break it up into two sections for us this morning. The first section is this, is that being filled with the Spirit leads to a life of purpose. Being filled with the Spirit leads to a life of purpose. That very first phrase that Paul says here is he says, look carefully then how you walk. His encouragement to the church at Ephesus is to be careful how they walk. My parents are in town this weekend. They're actually on the front row right here. If you want to say hey to them, they'll just, you know, stay in the line and, you know, meet all of you. But I got the opportunity to go across the street and walk my parents through our building, this new future C3 building here soon. And so we're walking through, and as we're walking in, I'm telling my five-year-old daughter, Layla, I was like, hey, there's nails in here. There's all these different things that you need to be careful of. Like, we need to make sure that you walk closely. And of course, my mom immediately on this tour of the building reminds my five-year-old daughter of a moment that happened to me in fifth grade. Don't you love it when parents do that? It's the best. And so my mom shared a story with my five-year-old about me in fifth grade. And when I was in fifth grade, my parents built a house in Hendersonville, Tennessee. And one of the things that we would do as like a family outing on the weekends is that we would load up the car and we would drive to our new house that's being built, and we would walk through the house just to see it updated. Some of you have built houses, you do this with your families, right? And so there's one particular day, it was extremely muddy and rainy, and so my mom had gotten us rain boots, so we put the rain boots on. My fifth grade self's got my rain boots on, and my mom in the car says, like, hey, there's nails, there's all these different things here, you need to be very careful how you walk around this place, like, just be careful. So my mom and dad, they go, and they begin to look at, I guess, where things are going to go, you know, do adult things, and my fifth grade self with my sister Hannah decides that this is the moment where I'm going to show the height of my athleticism. And there was a board with nails all through it that led from the kitchen down to the garage. And I told my sister, in all the pride in the world, I can run down this board jumping over nails and not have to worry about anything. Like, we're going to be fine. And Hannah, my sister, my 4 years younger than me sister, first grade, was like, that's a bad idea. You should not do that. And I was like, no, trust me, it's gonna work. And that story ends with a bloody sock and a tetanus shot. And so, you know, you kind of saw where that one was going, right? But my mom, all those years ago, and even me to Layla this weekend, is giving this idea that, like, hey, there are things in your footpath that you need to be watchful for. And Paul, in the exact same heart for the church at Ephesus, is urging a carefulness to the way that the church at Ephesus walks. When Paul talks about walking, he's not just talking about walking. It's an illustration he would use all throughout the New Testament to describe the way that believers are to live their life. And so when Paul says, be very careful then how you walk, what he is saying is be vigilant, be watchful, be overseeing your steps, because there are things that can trip you up. Do not walk as unwise, but as wise. Like, be vigilant for where you place your feet. Essentially, what Paul is urging here is that there is no coasting in the life of a believer. That there is a call of all believers who are filled by the Spirit. We are now enabled to walk with a care to our steps. When we are filled with the Spirit, we are given the ability to actually care about where our feet go, care about the state of our life and the decisions that we make. And if we're all honest with ourselves, when you look back at seasons of your life that are filled with sin, that are filled with most brokenness, if you look back at those seasons, I guarantee you, you can define a moment in your life where there was a lack of care, a lack of watchfulness, a lack of vigilance for how you took steps. But when we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we are able to walk in a care for our steps. And this is what Paul is urging the church at Ephesus to do. Look carefully how you walk. Watch where you place your feet, because the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking to devour you. Like, you must be watchful where you walk. You must be careful about how you live your life. So the first thing he says is to be careful how you walk. The second thing he says is making the best use of time. Some of your translations may say making the most of every opportunity. When you read that phrase, making the best use of time, your mind, like mine, probably jumps to this idea of efficiency, right? That we are to do the most in the smallest amount of time. We make the best use of our time. But what Paul is saying is this Greek word keros, which literally means to seize every opportunity. He's speaking to this idea of opportune moments. Anybody in here bought a house recently? Anybody? Yeah? Okay. Well, congratulations. I hope you enjoy it. But recently in my life, not too recently, but the last time I bought a house, there was a particular reason my wife was not there. Dangerous game for a husband to be touring the house and making that decision on his own. But me and the realtor are walking through the house. And as we're walking through the house, I know, I'm like, Kelsey is going to love this house. Like, I know, it's the house we live in now, so I was right. But I was like, she's going to love this house. And the realtor looks back at me and he says, if you want this house, we need to put an offer in right now. Like 15 seconds ago, because it's probably already sold. You know what I'm talking about? And he's like, tell me, this has got to happen. And I'm like, with me in decision-making like that, I do not function well in pressured decisions like that. I'm like, I haven't made my pros and cons list yet. So I don't know if I can do that. He's like, no, you got to do this right now. Like, it could be gone by the time we leave. We got to do this now. And we live in that house now, so it worked out, right? But that idea is the similar way that Paul is talking about this text here. He's saying, there is an opportunity in front of you that you cannot miss. You have to jump at this right now. And what Paul is saying when he says, make the best use of time, for the days are evil, he's saying, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, there is going to be moments that are given to you that through the filling of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be able to see those moments and seize them for the good of the kingdom and for the building up of the church. That there are going to be moments that the Lord gives you that you are enabled to seize because you are filled with the Spirit of God. It's those moments when you're walking your trash can to the end of your drive and your unsaved neighbor just happens to be watering his grass and you get the opportunity to talk to him and the Holy Spirit just says, this is your moment. It's the moments when your kids come home broken and disappointed over the things that are going on in their life and you're put into a conversation with them to speak truth to them about their identity in Christ and the Holy Spirit says, this is your moment. It's a moment when you receive greater responsibility in your workplace and you're able to showcase a care for others more than a care for yourself. And the Holy Spirit says, this is your moment. Make the best use of the time. And Paul is encouraging the church at Ephesus to understand our call is to make the best use of our time, to seize every moment for the building up of the church and the cause of Christ. And we will miss those moments apart from the filling of the Holy Spirit. Next thing he says is that he says, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. I love this verse because one, the back half says, understand what the Lord's will is, which means it is possible to understand the will of the Lord. It is possible to arrive at the will of the Lord. But he says at the beginning, he says, do not be foolish. What does a fool do? A fool is one who wanders aimlessly without purpose to his life. And so what Paul is encouraging by the filling of the Holy Spirit is you will be enabled to understand the will of God. But if you are not filled with the Spirit, you will wander aimlessly and without purpose because you will walk as a fool who has no direction to his steps. Understand what the Lord's will is. Be filled with the Spirit. And the last thing he says in this section is, he says, do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit. And we see a couple of things here. Obviously, Paul is teaching about alcohol here. He's saying, like, we are not to be drunk with wine. Like, that's a sin. Like, he's talking about that, but he's also saying something much deeper here, right? So think with me for a moment. When you are drunk with wine, when someone is under the influence of alcohol, what begins to happen? They begin to do things they wouldn't normally do. They begin to say things they wouldn't normally say. They begin to act in ways they would not normally act. That's why when someone gets arrested for being impaired by alcohol behind the wheel, they say that they're driving under the influence. Why? Because something has come into their body that is now influencing their behavior. And so when Paul says, do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit. He is giving us an illustration of what the Spirit of God can do in the life of a believer. That all of a sudden, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we begin to do things we wouldn't normally do, say things we wouldn't normally say, and act in ways we would never act before. And those of you who've come to Christ in this room and have experienced the filling of the Holy Spirit, you can attest to the fact that when you came to Christ, all of a sudden, the way that you treated your spouse in marriage was just totally different. You began to love your spouse different than you used to, right? The way that you sit in church and the way that you serve in this church, all of a sudden, it has whole new meaning when you've been filled with the Spirit. Why? Because you're now doing things that you did not used to do and saying things you did not used to say and act in ways that you didn't used to act. Why? Because there is a filling of an outside force that comes into our life and empower us to do things that we would not normally do. And church, this is why we are hungry for the Spirit of God, because apart from the Spirit of God, we will live just like the world. And we may have different ways to dress it up, but the truth of the matter is, Jesus says in John 15, apart from him, we can do nothing. That the Spirit of God is what enables us to walk in marriage in the right way. The Spirit of God is what enables us to serve in the church in the right way. The Spirit of God is the thing that enables us to be an influence and a witness in our workplace. Because it is him who allows us to do things we would never do and lead us to say things we would never say and lead us to act in ways we wouldn't normally act. And this is what our call is. We talked about, Nick brought up our mission statement just a few seconds ago, that we're called to reach Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Jesus. You know why that matters? Is because our city does not need to see you and I living our life. Our city desperately needs to see people filled with the Holy Spirit of God doing things we wouldn't normally do, saying things we wouldn't normally say, and acting in ways we wouldn't normally act. Because the only difference between us and anybody at our workplace or in our neighborhood is that we are empowered and filled by the Holy Spirit of God to do things that are not characteristic for human beings apart from the Spirit. This is the call of the church, that we would be filled by the Spirit of God to walk in lives of purpose. And this leads us to not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but to be filled with the Spirit and do things we wouldn't normally do. It leads us to not be foolish, but understand what God's will is. It leads us to make the best use of time and seize every opportunity to be useful for the kingdom. And it leads us to be very careful how we take our steps and live our life. We do all of these things through the power of the Holy Spirit, filling our life and empowering us towards these things. I want to jump back up to a phrase that Paul uses in verse 16 when he just says, because the days are evil. He says, make the best use of time because the days are evil. I like to picture Paul just saying that, because he's saying almost to the church at Ephesus, he's saying, would you just look around you? The days are evil. Like, there's no purpose in these things. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Like, all of these things do not lead to purpose. All of these things do not lead to life. The days are evil around us. But when you are filled with the Spirit, you can walk in a life of purpose. It's almost like Paul is pleading with the church at Ephesus to understand that there is a difference with the filling of the Spirit and the ways of the world. And every single point he makes throughout this section is this differentiating statement. He's saying, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. He says, make the most of your time because the days are evil. He says, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit. He's pointing out the days are evil. There is a difference in the way that the world is to live their is living their life and the way the people of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, are to live their life. We walk in lives with purpose, not because our jobs are great or our family situations are awesome, but because we are filled by the Spirit of God to do the work of God in the time that he has placed us in. A life of purpose is filled with the Spirit. Second section that Paul leads into in verses 19 through 21 is really just this idea of being filled with the Spirit that leads to a life of response. It leads to a life of response. Look at verse 19 through 21. He says this. He says, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Give thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of a reverence for Christ. Paul is saying, when we are filled with the Spirit of God, there are certain responses to God that begin to be fleshed out in our life. The first response is that we respond in praise. We respond in praise. Look at what he says. He says, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with our heart. David says the exact same kind of heart posture here in Psalm 40 when he says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and he heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. You see, it's the filling of the Holy Spirit that leads us to respond in praise. It is this idea that Paul is saying, when you are filled with the Spirit, you are able to praise. You are able, you got a new song in your heart that you are beginning to say, man, out of the joy of what God has given, I have tasted and seen that God is good, and I will sing praises to the Lord as a result. When I was 16 years old, I met a girl named Kelsey Lovingood. It's my wife now, so it worked out. But when I was 16, I was immediately, just obnoxiously, head over heels in love with this girl. I was making mixtapes. I was writing poems. It was weird. And every single time a Taylor Swift song would come on, it just hit different down in here. You know what I'm talking about? She came around like 7 years later and really was like, okay, we can do this. But like day one, I was in. And what happens in that moment was there was something that was going on in here. I had seen what I knew was best. And everything changed from there. And some of you wonder why we sing songs like we've sang this morning. Like, why are we singing church? Why we do that? It's because as the people of God, being filled with the Spirit of God, have a new song to sing, a new praise to give, a new worship to present, because we have tasted and seen that God is good. We've encountered a love that the only thing we can do is just respond in praise. The second response that he gives here is this idea of responding in gratitude. He says, give thanks always and for everything. Give thanks always and for everything. A different book that Paul writes in Thessalonians, he says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So Paul has consistently encouraged us towards this idea of gratitude, to give thanks in all circumstances and being thankful always and for everything. We're just honest with ourselves for a moment. That seems like an impossible task, does it not? To be thankful in all circumstances? To be thankful always and for everything? I mean, if you're like me, I'll be honest. Like, there's some situations in my life and situations in yours, I'm sure, that doesn't lead us to just automatically respond with gratitude, right? Some of you, as you read that verse, your response, maybe you're telling me I'm supposed to be walking in gratitude because I in this cancer diagnosis? I'm supposed to be thankful in the midst of what's going on in my family right now? I'm supposed to be thankful for that? I'm supposed to be thankful for what my boss just did to me this past week at work? I'm supposed to be thankful for that? And I can sympathize with every person in here who might be walking and carrying that this morning. It's important to remind you that Paul is writing this very verse from a prison cell in chains. It's in a prison that Paul is saying, be thankful always and for everything. And I believe that thankfulness and gratitude is a natural byproduct of being filled with the Spirit of God, because you are right. It is impossible to be thankful in the midst of cancer, family circumstances, and any kind of workplace environment. It's impossible to be thankful in those situations apart from the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God that leads us to be walking in gratitude in those moments. It's the Spirit of God that enables us to be thankful. You know why? Because it's the Holy Spirit of God filling our lives that allows us to see that there is hope beyond our circumstances. That there is reasons to be thankful beyond what we are currently walking through. Because the Holy Spirit of God reveals to us the character of our God in the midst of whatever situation that we are walking in. And so it's as believers that we walk through these hard times, we can respond in gratitude because we know that there is a day coming where there will be no more sorrow and no more pain, and we will stand face to face with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords with unhindered fellowship with our Creator. And it is that reality that the Holy Spirit continues to push towards us that allows us to trust in His unending power and His unending faithfulness and His character just pure before our eyes. And it is in that that we are able to say, thank you, God, and walk in gratitude in hard times, because we know that the thing we are walking through is not the end. And again, this is an opportunity for the church to have our greatest witness, because in the world's definition of thankfulness, some of our lives don't describe reasons to be thankful. But it's through the filling of the Spirit of God that allows us to present a bold, crazy witness of the gospel, because we have been given a reason to be thankful even beyond our circumstances. And we respond in gratitude because we are filled with the Spirit of God. And the last thing that Paul says is that we respond in radical humility. We respond in radical humility. That last verse in 21, Paul says, submitting to one another out of a reverence to Christ. This verse really sets up where we're going to go next week in our passage on marriage. But really what Paul is saying here is that when we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we are enabled to walk out His desires for our life, which means we walk in this radical humility. It means that we understand that the ground is level at the foot of the cross, that we are all made in the image of God. And so because of that, when we live in a world that is seeking to constantly climb ladders and push anyone out of our way to promote ourselves, being filled with the Spirit of God, we are led to walk in a radical humility that says, my life, much like Jesus, is to lay my life down as a servant, to build up others and not myself. And it is impossible in a world that promotes self and self-fulfillment and self-gratification to walk in radical humility apart from the Spirit of God. It is by being filled with the Spirit that we can do these things. And so what is God's will for our lives right now? God's will for our life right now is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it is by this filling that we can live lives of purpose. It is by this filling that we can live in response to God. This is God's will. This is his heart for us, that we would be filled with the Spirit every day and walk in these things. And some of you may see this and you may say, Luke, like I get you. I'm supposed to be filled with the Spirit of God, but like, how do I even do that? What does that even look like in my life? I have no idea where to even start. I want to just give you three words this morning that might be helpful. The first is just the word confess. I think part of asking for the filling of the Holy Spirit is admitting that you have sought fulfillment in other things to your God. God, I confess that I've tried to find fulfillment in my work. I've tried to find fulfillment in my relationships. I've tried to find fulfillment in my money or my success or whatever it may be that's going on in your life. You're living open before the Lord and saying, Lord, I confess these parts of my life that do not match up with what you've called me to. The second word is this word, surrender. It's not only a confession, believing and knowing that you've sought fulfillment in other things, but now it's a, God, even if you need to take my career, even if you need to take this relationship, even if you need to take this money, like, Lord, I surrender it all to you. I commit to surrender in this moment. Here it is. You can have all of my life because I want all of you. And then very lastly, the word is just fill. This is the moment when we just ask the Holy Spirit of God to fill our life, to lead us to do things we would never do, say things we would never say, and act in ways we would never act. Our pastor says this often in sermons. He just talks about how every single day he'll pray the prayer like, with the Holy Spirit of God, would you fill me today? Would you fill me today? May that be our prayer. When's the last time you prayed a prayer like that? You know, Scripture teaches us that when we draw near to God, he will draw near to us, meaning that our God is a God who desires to fill us and empower us towards the things that he's planned for us. It is in his very nature that when we seek to be filled by him, that he responds with fulfilling us for the work he's called us to. And so when's the last time you've prayed a prayer like that? Are you walking with a filling of the Holy Spirit right now? There's a pastor and author that Pastor Nick references often by the name of R.T. Kendall. Some of you have read some of his books and heard him speak at different things. But R.T. Kendall shares this story of a couple of British missionaries who go to Israel, and they're in this house, this cottage. And in this cottage, like up in the kind of like roof area, there's this dove that just happens to just kind of like consistently be in their house. And the couple begins to just be really encouraged by this dove. And they see it as a picture of the grace of God over their life, protection for them, that God's affirmed their ministry. So every time they see it, they're just encouraged. And they're like, man, I love that that dove is there. What they begin to find is that as they would argue as a married couple and they would begin to raise their voices at one another, the dove would just fly away. And sometimes it would be gone for days at a time. Sometimes it would come back maybe sooner or later, but it would leave. Other times they'd slam the doors in anger at one another and the dove would fly away. And they begin to realize in those moments, they're just becoming like so sad that the dove has left. They're missing this protection, this provision that they believe is from the Lord. And the husband and wife end up having a conversation about this dove. And what are they going to do to get the dove back? What are they going to do to get the dove to rest back in the roof? And R.T. Kendall shares this little quote that the husband says. The husband looks at his wife and he says, "The dove will not adjust to us. We must adjust ourselves to the dove. The dove will not adjust to us. We must adjust ourselves to the dove." You know, the dove is a picture of the Holy Spirit all throughout Scripture. And that story just gripped me this week as I was preparing for this message. Just I was asking myself, like, man, God, what am I doing in my life that would lead the dove, your Holy Spirit, to flee my house? to flee my ministry, to flee my marriage. God, I want the dove back. God, I want your power. I want your fulfillment. I want to live a life of purpose. I want to live a life of response to you. Maybe that's your heart this morning, that you want to see the filling of the Holy Spirit radically change your life and do things that you wouldn't normally do and say things you wouldn't normally say. Can I just ask you, what are you doing to cause the dove to flee? Are you desperately seeking to keep the dove present in your life, filling you every day and empowering you to do the work that the Lord has set before you? Because it is only with the dove, it is only with the filling of the Holy Spirit that you can walk with a care for your steps, that you can understand what the will of the Lord is, so that you can do any of these things we've talked about today. The only way that happens is that the dove rests over your home, rests over your marriage, rests over your work. That you've been filled in such a way that you're not just leaving them on the couch in the mornings after your quiet time, but you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God to live life differently. And so for some of you in this room, as you just think about this entire message, you're wondering, man, when is the Holy Spirit going to fill me? I don't feel like his activity at all. And that the reality for you just may be, like, what we know to be true from Scripture is that when you are saved, the Holy Spirit is empowered into your life. And so for some of you, you have never surrendered your life to Jesus. And so today, your very first step is to give your life to Christ so that you can begin to experience his power in your life for the very first time. Others of you in this room, you may share this heart, like, God, I want your Spirit to fill me, but there's things in your life right now that are causing the dove to fly your home, causing the dove to flee your marriage, causing the dove to flee these different things because you're grieving them by the way that you're living. And I just so desperately want to plead with you. Do you want to live a life of purpose? Do you want to live a life of response to God? If so, find whatever those things are and get them out of the way and just ask the Lord, confess, surrender. Lord, would you fill me so that I can do what you've called me to do? And so as we stand and sing here in just a moment, my urge to you today is to do business with the Lord that he might rest upon your life and fill you in a new and fresh way. Some of you may need to come to this front. Pastor Nick talked about earlier, we've got a little bit more room up here now. Maybe the Lord just gave us a little bit more room so we can do some more business with the Lord. Maybe you need to come with your spouse and you begin to just ask the Lord to fill your home again. Maybe you need to grab the hand of a pastor and just confess some things and just say, man, the Spirit's left my life in some ways and I need him to enter into this moment right here. We'd love to pray for you. We'd love nothing more than to walk through that with you. But whatever the Lord puts on your heart, may we be a church that is filled with the Spirit of God in such a way that we walk in purpose and response to our God. May it be so. May it be true of us. Would you pray with me? God, we love you. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who promises us that when we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. And Lord, we just admit right now our weakness, Lord, that we are incapable of doing anything of value, anything of purpose, anything of righteousness apart from the Spirit of God in our life. And so, Lord, we ask, we invite you in. Lord, would you fill us? Would you empower us with your Spirit? Would you impact our marriages, our families, our work? Lord, would you lead us to be bold, to make decisions that would lead towards you doing that in a new and fresh way in our life? Lord, we desperately need you here. We need you to fill us. We need you to empower us. We need you to lead us. Because we can't do this on our own. Our marriages are hopeless apart from your Spirit. Our families are hopeless apart from your Spirit. Our workplaces, this city is hopeless apart from your Spirit. So would you come and would you fill us and would you do what only you can do here? I ask that all in your awesome, holy name. Amen.
If you have questions about what you have heard or would like more information about your relationship with Jesus, please email us at info@crosschurch.com or visit our website at crosschurch.com. At Cross Church, our mission is to reach Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Jesus Christ.